Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to X-Files Diaries. I'm Annie.
Jen.
And Jen, we're bearing with Jen because she's getting over a little bit of a cold this week. But you're powering through for the X-Files, and we appreciate it.
Anything for the X-Files at all times.
Today we're going to talk about, this is kind of a cool, interesting topic. Jen and I batted this around a while ago, and it actually seems really appropriate that we're going to be talking about it today, even though this is probably going to be, you know, dropping several weeks. Today was actually the anniversary of the series, I'm going to say series finale, of My Struggle 4, which was last year. And I think we are going to call all of these possible series finales, and we're going to discuss them all at length tonight and compare and contrast them, which ones we think would have been the best series finale, which ones were the worst, why they would have worked, why they didn't, how they worked in the progression of the series, all that jazz. So we came up with six of them. Mm-hmm. And one of them, I think, is you said season seven, because and I was not watching that. I started in season eight. So we're going to talk about season seven finale, season eight finale, season nine finale, the I Want to Believe ending, the season 10 finale, and the season 11 finale, which are all were all actual potential endings. So we're going to start with season seven. So Jen, you tell me, what was the kind of mood as you're coming into Requiem, like the mood around the fandom, and like kind of what you thought was going to be happening?
Good question. My recollection is that, and I had to look this up this week just to kind of remind myself exactly what the timeline was on everything. I think that most of us just assumed it was coming back in for another season, even though it turns out, from what I've learned, that the production folks didn't really have much anticipation of it coming back for season eight until really the last minute. And I do believe that the announcement that the X-Files would come back for the eighth season, but with a lot less David Duchovny, came right before Requiem actually aired. It had already been sort of produced, written, filmed before anyone knew for sure that it would come back. So I think that at the time that the episode was filmed, there was an expectation that that it may have to just get wrapped up in a movie, if then. I think during season seven, there was a sense that things were being wrapped up. I mean, we've got the whole timeline of Samantha's abduction was wrapped up. A lot of things were wrapped up during season seven with the expectation, I think, that it would be the last season. But I don't remember like thinking that it was going to be for some reason. I think I was just in denial that it would. So I think that I just assumed it would come back again, but I didn't know in what form. And when I started hearing this idea of David Duchovny not coming back, I was like, nah, I don't want it coming back without him. So we were all in kind of a state of confusion at that point about what was going to happen. And then when we found out about David Duchovny not coming back, then it was like, what is even happening here? There was just kind of chaos and uproar, and no one quite knew what to make of any of it. And, you know, back in those days, it seems like information wasn't as easy to come by as it is today in terms of getting all sort of the nitty gritty details. And so we were all just kind of like, what's happening? We don't really know. Let's just wait and see. And so I think there would have been a lot more panic if it was happening today. Back then, I seem to recall just kind of thinking, you know, don't worry, be happy. It'll be fine. Everything's going to be fine. We didn't have social media the way we do now with that kind of echo chamber of panic that can happen sometimes.
Right. From what
I think we were just all hopeful.
I don't want to say from what I recall. I should say from what I understand, Carter, I mean, I think he wrote all of these in with the knowledge that it might be the last one. I feel like he always knows, hey, this could be the end, so let's write it like it's the end, which makes me even more pissed off at certain ones of these. But with Requiem especially, like from what I understand, the pregnancy thing was not, well, and I know the pregnancy thing was not in the script. I don't know if it was always in his mind. I'm sure it was. It just probably was kept out of the script. So I wonder if it was something he just told Jillian at the end. I'm completely speculating, but I do know it's not in the script, or at least it wasn't in the script that I saw. And so it's possible, it's possible that that was the kind of thing that they added in, knowing that he was going to come back, that was going to be the arc for the next season, which it turned out to be, which I think is kind of interesting, because when I try and think of season seven Requiem as a series finale, as it aired, it's depressing as fuck, right? Like it's awful. Like, and I mean, that episode is one of my very favorites. I know it's your favorite. Mm-hmm. It's one of both of our very favorite episodes. So, I mean, at least they would be ending very strong. But yeah. I can't really, I guess what we're not talking about, though, today are the actual episodes. We're talking about how it ended, like how this would have been as an ending. Not so good. Not so good with the Requiem and the Mulder abduction and the trauma of all of that.
It would have been a traumatic. And I agree with one thing you said, which is that it would have been awful. No, I agree with the part you said it would have been depressing. I don't agree with the part where you said it would have been awful, because, you know, I'm all about the angst, and I actually would have liked Requiem as a series ending. I know that it would have been, it's like things are very much up in the air. Things are not settled. People are not happy. But I always kind of liked that idea. Like when I realized, really, it was some years after where I finally grasped that actually could have been the ending. And I was like, you know what? That would have been a really interesting ending. Mulder's been abducted, which in some ways is like the right ending for his character, because it's like he's been looking for these aliens all these years, and like, here you go, you found them.
Oh my God, and, Jen. I don't even know what to say. I'm like biting my tongue right now.
It's ridiculous.
It's horrible.
It's crazy. But, you know, with the idea, I think that it would have been resolved in a movie, because that would have been a really good movie.
But that doesn't count. That's not what we're talking about.
Yeah, like, I know.
We're talking about how it would have ended, and that would have been terrible.
I still would have been okay with it. I would have been okay with that kind of weird sort of unsettled ending, because, you know, it's the X-Files. Things should be weird and unsettled, in my opinion. So
I am going to disagree with you.
I know.
That's a
most
hard
people will.
Disagreement.
I'm weird.
That's terrible.
I know.
I actually am dying to say something, but I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait until we get to another series finale that we'll be talking about.
Okay. And I'm just going to say, like you said about the episode Requiem, which we both love, not only do I love it as an episode, but I think it makes a really strong series finale for a lot of reasons, because we've got all the stuff with the auditor where, you know, that's a pretty sort of entertaining way of kind of reviewing the series in terms of they talk about
Samantha's
abduction and the aliens, all about the money that they spent on it, which is really quite funny. And it's really quite like realistic. And this idea that the X-Files could be finally getting shut down, not because of some kind of, a mysterious cadre of men behind the scenes, but just because there's no money and FBI bureaucracy is what is going to finally shut down the X-Files. That's like harder to fight than the villains of the show. So I kind of like that. I thought that was kind of like a fun idea. And we've got like all the characters are coming back. Krycek's there, Marita, the Lone Gunman. Everyone's working together. Yeah. Makes my heart happy.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. Like, I mean, as an episode, it would have been, and I mean, I like how it bookends in Belfleur again, like where the pilot
was.
Like, I mean, in that respect, I think it's great. I'm just talking about like the very ending of it would have been awful. Like as an episode, great. Like if that was like the series finale, I would have been like, that was a great episode. You know, awesome.
Yes.
Like Smoky Man gets pushed down a flight of stairs.
Yes, he does.
You know, like all this great stuff
as
happens.
Usual.
And I mean, again, that was more like. It seems like they were kind of having Krycek, for example, pick a side. It seems like they were kind of having them all decide, hey, let's fuck over the Smoking Man, and that's how we're going to end this. And so,
it felt really final, right?
It did have a nice, I can agree with you there. It had a kind of nice bookending feel to it.
Yeah, but like, it had a good sense of finality.
I'm not cool with Mulder being abducted and Scully being like left alone with a baby. I'm not cool with that at all. Like, I can't.
Yes.
I would have gone off to work the next day, like wearing black, like I did after my struggle too. It would have been so depressing, and I would have been like, that's it. I'm totally done. And I mean, at least with season 7, you could have, like you said, I guess the timing of this is really relevant, because you could have walked away from that with the hope that there would be a movie. But like that isn't really the case anymore.
No,
so,
that's true.
So I feel like the stakes are even higher now, if that makes any sense. You know what I mean?
No, it does.
Yeah. And so I feel like if that had been the series finale, I mean, hey, if that had been the series finale, it could have gone a completely different direction. Maybe a direction that a lot of people would prefer. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm sure the actors would have preferred to just keep doing movies. I know Duchovny, that's all he wanted to do. So yeah. I guess when you look at it that way, it would have been great. But I mean, yeah, in terms of where we left them, I guess it's obvious. I guess it's super obvious to just say that that sucks because, I don't know, it's kind of boring.
No, yeah, it's just... It's just, it would be a ballsy move, I feel like. It's just like, it's bold. I like, you know, unexpected endings like that. I always like, kudos is what I say. Sometimes I like reassess whole movies. If it has kind of an off ending or a sad ending, I'm like, well, now I have to like that movie all over again because I like the ending so much. So yeah. I'm a little bit odd that way. And the thing I like about also about the idea of it ending there is it ends on the right note for the X-Files. We would have precluded seasons 8 and 9, which while I have come around on 8 to see a lot of good stuff about it, I still would have preferred if season 8 and 9 in some ways didn't exist. So
I think a lot of people might agree with you on that.
Exactly. But. So the X-Files is meant to be a 7-season show. Yeah. Some people still think of it as that. And if it had ended at the end of season 7, we would have ended with UFOs and abductions, and that's where the X-Files should have ended, not with anything else. So that's my opinion.
You've made a really great case because, I mean, I don't know, maybe when we get through this discussion, my ranking might change. But wow. I actually am going to spoil you. I have this as my worst one.
Fair enough. And I'll tell you right now, it's my second highest.
That's amazing. No, you've bumped it up because I think... Yep. Again, and you have to kind of take into account what happens in the entire episode. I mean, at least this episode, like Mulder and Scully were like in sync. They were doing their thing. There was a lot of great shippy stuff. You knew they were in their right headspace, like with each other.
Yep.
We do not know about the brain disease, if that's what's going on. We don't know about that yet. So I mean,
we would never have known about
that.
That
doesn't
disease.
Even need to be taken into account. And that's then when I think about my second worst, which I know everyone thought this was probably going to be my worst, but I was seriously thinking about this, debating between this one and My Struggle 2, which were worse. And I was like, well, at least at My Struggle 2, they're like at the end and like you think that maybe William's in the ship and maybe she's going to cure him and maybe everything will be fine. Mm. Like you think that's a possibility. Whereas when you're looking at Requiem, you're just like, oh, man, they're fucked. Like he's up in a spaceship somewhere. We don't even see the spaceship. Like and she's left pregnant. Like and you foresee like her being alone with a baby. And it just it seemed so much worse to me. But I mean, the reason I was so angry. And again, we all know this is because there was no resolution to their relationship at that point. And that's what bothered me more than anything else. And so leaving it there would have been worse for that reason. So look at that. You already got me to swap two of them. Maybe maybe you can get me to bump this up more. I did want to say one thing because you brought up something interesting before we move on to season 8. You said the whole thing about the after all this time, like the X-Files is threatened by an accountant, like and how simple and silly and realistic that is, like almost to the point where it's bizarrely boring, you know, if that makes sense. And it made me think of the MSR breakup, how everybody is like, how could they ever break up? They've been through all of this crazy shit. And part of me is kind of just like, I kind of love the idea that, you know what? It's just a simple breakup that does it. It's just a breakup. Like, it's so boring. Like,
that's right.
And it's when you think about it like that, you're just like, oh my God, like all this other crazy stuff in the end is just kind of, it's like the background noise of the real lives that are happening, like stuff in the bureau, like the real bureaucracy that's going to bring this department down, or the real life issues that these two people have that have nothing to do with fluke men and monsters that are going to destroy them. You know what I mean? And I just, that's a really, really interesting idea that you just put in my head.
I've always found that really fun, and I'm just going to quote my favorite, I don't know, I've got a lot of favorite lines from that episode, but probably the line that I quote most often, and it's the best line for any series finale in my opinion, is when Mulder says, it has to end sometime, that time is now. You can't get a better line than that for a series finale. It's not the last thing he says, but it's in that episode, and I've quoted it many times over the years. Because like I quoted it several times during series 11 because it's like, yep, it's time. And so that's a great line for a final episode, and it would have worked really well in my opinion, but I know that I am in the minority probably.
Well, that actually is a really nice segue to move into season 8, because I think that I would say a vast majority of the people, or the of the fandom, I should say, probably agree that season 8 is the best finale. And I was going to sit here and say that this is probably at the bottom of your list because it's the happiest one. Right?
It's
pretty low.
It's close to the bottom of my list. Let me see. Yeah, let's just say it's definitely in the lower half.
It's in the lower half. Well, it's interesting to me, and again, I am a huge fan of the angst too. But with me, I need to have some sugar with my bitterness. So I to me, this is a really kind of cool way. If they were to have wrapped up Mulder and Scully as a story and then done season 9 with just Doggett and Reyes, which I know a lot of people agree would have probably been the way to go, or at least the way to try to make this go. I think that would have been great in terms of like a wrap up for their story. Because it was kind of an end of a really nice arc for them. And in a weird way, like we have never gotten to see the two of them make any kind of like declaration to each other in any sort of non-platonic way. Like we really don't, other than all like the MSR we have to kind of decipher. To me, I thought this was the most overt that we've ever seen, at least up to this point. It was him saying, I don't know how or why this happened, and him saying the truth we both know, leaning in for a kiss, a non-platonic kiss, and then pulling back and it was over. And I was thinking, hey, this was actually a really cool way to not step all over the unresolved sexual tension that Chris Carter never wanted to deal with, to kind of end with that and be like, hey, let's end with a nice big kiss and they're a little happy family and we're going to pull out and then it's done. And not only that, we have to go back a few minutes and the whole thing where Doggett and Reyes are talking to Kirsch and they're saying, you know, you put us on the X-Files. And they have this sort of like hero's shot of the two of them, like it was, at the door, like looking at him like, well, you're going down, bitch. You know, and I loved that. And I remember watching that thinking, because I think at the time, because this was like my first season, like my intro. At this point in the season, I had already probably watched all the episodes because I went back and binged them. But like, I remember thinking, hey, you know, if this is how they end Mulder and Scully and they just keep going on, that was a really cool setup for Doggett and Reyes to just kind of take over. And then I think, though, we knew by that point that Jillian was coming back and David wasn't. So like I've said before, it kind of just tainted that ending for me. Because I knew it was not going anywhere good. Like, I knew it was going to be a shit show, which it ended up being. So, anyway, what do you think of season 8?
I totally agree with everything that you've said. I think that, I think at that point, again, I don't know if it was official when they did the episode, when they filmed the episode, that it was going to be back for season 9, but I think everyone assumed it would be at that point.
Yeah.
And I think by the time it aired, we knew exactly, as you said, that Jillian was coming back, and that I think we were pretty sure that David wasn't at that point. And so who knew what was going to happen? But I mean, as an episode, as a final episode, it's not a particularly strong one, in my opinion, just because it doesn't have the sense of scale that Requiem has.
Yeah.
That sense of, like, let's look back on the show. It clearly wasn't written that way. Fair enough. But as an ending to Mulder and Scully's story, like you say, you can't get a sweeter ending, really. And I've always loved this idea that the real truth, with a capital T, is Mulder and Scully and their love and their relationship. That's the truth.
Yeah.
And which I must articulate it like that.
Which I must say, not to interrupt, but I do need to say this, because a lot of people say that that was somehow stepped on with what comes later. And I don't necessarily think that's the case, because the intent is still there and always has been and always will be for what that scene meant for the two of them at that time.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing will ever change how I feel about that episode and that scene. Nothing will ever change my opinion. I don't care what comes after that. It will always be a sweet scene. And like the beautiful way that like the camera pulls back and we just like, here's Mulder and Scully. We're leaving them now with their little baby. Everything is going to be perfect for them. Let's just leave it at that. Right. And I mean, that's a beautiful ending. You can't top that in terms of like purely happy ending, which is of course why it's in my lower half in terms of how I feel about series endings,
right?
Because it was just, honestly, I remember watching at the time just being weirded out by it. It was just like, it was happy, but it kind of like, it was like out of nowhere happy for me because
too much.
I don't know. It was too much maybe. And like season 8 had been a weird season and such an angsty season. And then to have this kind of like, and Mulder and Scully weren't together really hardly at all in the episode. Well, I don't think they are until that very final scene. And then all of a sudden they're super happy. And it was like, I didn't know what to do with it. It was just weird to me. But, you know, looking back on it, I like it a lot. It's very sweet. It's a little too sweet for me in a way. Mm-hmm. There's not enough. Because for me, the X-Files is never just sweet. There's always like a little bit of angst that's got to be underpinning it. And there's not enough angst for my liking. But I totally also agree with you that it was such a great ending in terms of a jumping off point for Doggett and Reyes. Cause yeah, it's kind of like, yeah, they're going to do great things in season 9. And of course it didn't turn out that way.
Yeah.
I still feel like they could have.
It was so unfair to them.
Unfair.
It was so unfair to them to keep Julian on that show. Like,
yeah,
I mean, we've talked about this before, but I'm just like the entire time you're just sitting there depressed that yeah. Scully is all by herself and Mulder is yeah. nowhere to be found. Like, and
yeah,
if
for
they,
no good reason.
For no good reason. I mean, it was yeah. a reason. It was a reason, but like, it was yeah. no good reason in the end. And it was one of those things that was just like, if they were not there at all, like, I would have just been like happy enjoying my X-Files show and been like, yeah. oh, Mulder and Scully are off, you know, changing diapers and shit, and they're not being yeah. traumatized anymore, and exactly. I don't have to worry about them. And who knows, maybe they would pop in from time to time and like yep. help out on a case. I don't know. But I mean,
that would have been perfect.
But we can't have nice things.
We cannot.
And that's why season 9 exists.
Yes. And they just didn't know what to do with Scully in season 9, of course. Like, no. She's off teaching at Quantico, and she's not really involved in a lot of the cases, but she's still there. And
right.
Mulder is still, like, the center of the show, even though he's long gone, and yeah. none of it worked. But yeah. if we ignore how things went awry in season 9, if you're just watching the finale of season 8, it looks like it sets up season 9 perfectly, which, right. if they had executed it well, if they had done something better than they did, it would have. So too bad it didn't work out, but I'm not going to blame that on season 8.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's an interesting idea that it does. It could have been a series finale, but it also could have been like the best character finale for Mulder and Scully.
Yeah. I mean, it's the happiest ending
yeah.
that they could possibly have had.
Yeah. I think that the biblical imagery was a bit much.
Heavy-handed. Everything biblical got more and more heavy-handed, I find, as the series goes on. And certainly, yeah, it's just kind of, I cringe a little bit about, I followed the light, that kind of bullshit. It's like, yeah. nah, I don't think so. I just ignore that stuff.
Usually I kind of like symbolism, and I mean, I like when they do that, but they just really hit you over the head with
yeah.
this. And I mean,
it was too much.
Yeah, it was too much. And I have more to say about that when we talk about season 9, but like, I just, mm-hmm. I feel like it got to a point where it felt a little bit more like pushing an agenda, if that.
Yeah.
I don't like that. And I mean, let's talk about that season. Let's talk about season 9. Cause I think it's more, yeah. it's more about season 9, which yeah. is, I think, honestly, I think in terms of just that last shot that we have, it's
yes.
just the two of them together. I kind of like that imagery, two of them like literally against the world. We have the world coming mm-hmm. to an end. So yep. in terms of just the tone of the show,
yes.
I felt like that last scene was such a great final scene for the yep. show. And I think yep. it's the best they possibly could have given us, with a few nitpicks I'm about to talk about. But I think mm-hmm. in terms of a finale scene that we got with the two of them in a room, we got like a 6-minute scene of them talking. Mm-hmm. I mean, like,
yeah.
seriously, that's all that I ask for, honestly. And
seriously.
I feel like that's where a lot of these other ones have failed. Because that's really what we want to see, is we want to see a yep. scene with these two characters talking. That's what we want to see. And so for that reason, and I really like the vast majority of the things that they say in this motel room. Mm-hmm. I don't really mm-hmm. want to talk about the episode that precedes it, because I think most of us can agree that it's pretty much a shit show. But I like the idea. I mean, I'm speaking for a lot of people probably, but I like the idea that like it's just about like not giving up in the face of this really horrible tragedy that's ahead mm-hmm. of them. And I mean, leaving it there is kind of a really, like you said, ballsy move. And that was the actual series ending. It was a ballsy mm-hmm. move to be like, okay, well, here they are, but they're together, but the world's coming to an end, but the show's over, so we're never going to know. You know what I mean? Like,
the end.
I think that was kind of ballsy too.
Yeah.
But again, like, the last line, maybe there's hope. Like, of all of the last lines that we got, I think this was probably the best one.
Yeah, agree.
And it's the most memorable, and I feel like it's the most fitting to what the theme of the show is. But what, like I was saying before, I'll let you go into this in a second, but like I was saying before with the whole religious thing, like I every time I watch this scene, and I've said before on this show, like, I'm not a religious person. I used to be, and I appreciate it. And I think that the show, a great deal of this show is discussing belief versus non-belief, obviously. And a religion plays a big deal, obviously, with Scully and all that. It's a huge theme of the show, but it's always kind of as a counterpoint. Like, there's a counter argument to it.
Yes.
Like, is this real? Is this not? What do we believe? I don't know what to believe. And I felt like at the end of season 9, they were like, picking a side. Did it feel like that to you? Like, and again, I don't think I would have felt like that if they didn't do that insert of him holding the cross. Like, it's honestly, it's just that shot of it cutting into him holding the cross that always kind of, it makes me uncomfortable, because I'm like, this is the finale of the show. Is this what you're trying to say? That, like, this is the truth? This is the right thing? And I'm like, that makes me kind of uncomfortable, because this is not how I look at this show. I look at this show as like the unknown. Like, it's something you don't know. And it makes me uncomfortable that it appears that they have like chosen a side. So I don't like that. If they had not put that shot in, that insert, like, he could have done, all the dialogue could have been exactly the same, and he could have reached up, grabbed her necklace, and they could have kept it wide. And then, and it wouldn't have bothered me as much. Is that weird?
Yeah. No, it's not weird at all.
Okay. You get what I'm saying.
I think that whole cross thing has bothered me more over the years than it did at the time.
Yeah.
At the time, I strictly saw it as, you know, Scully's cross has been such a kind of like constant throughout the whole series.
Yeah.
As sort of a sign of, I chose to see it as like a sign of faith in general and a faith in anything, not necessarily religious faith. And so if I chose to look at it that way, that, you know, this is the symbol of the show in a lot of ways. And so why not make it the center of that scene? But when I look again at the dialogue over the years, and there's that, you know, stuff coming from Mulder about this part of something greater than any alien force, blah-dee-dee-blah. I just watched that scene for like about the millionth time right before we went on air. And my husband was here, and I watched it again. And after he said all that stuff, I mean, I quite liked the dialogue up until that point, like exactly like you said. Mm-hmm. But that those lines, I said, it's been like, what, 16 years. I still don't know what the hell he's talking about.
Me neither.
It's just like this,
right?
It's this weird tangent that he goes off on that I think implies something religious, I guess. The weird part about it is, and the thing that kind of annoys me and niggles at me about it is, I'm totally fine with religion on the X-Files. I think it's a really interesting element, but not when it comes from Mulder.
Right.
And everything in that scene that's religious is, or can be interpreted that way, is coming from Mulder. It makes no sense. It's like, where is this coming from all of a sudden?
It's like, well, because you just saw a bunch of ghosts, you're suddenly religious. Like, you've seen ghosts for 9 years, Mulder.
Exactly.
Like, it doesn't make, it feels. I'm going to say it out of character. It feels very weird for him to say that in this moment, because it, like you said, everything up to that moment was great. Yeah. All their dialogue about not giving up and about, hey,
absolutely,
look what it's gotten you. And you don't give up. Like, all of that was so
perfect.
Them. And you're right. Out of fucking nowhere, he just starts talking about God. And I'm
I guess.
Yeah. And I'm just kind of so confused every time I watch it. I was just like, okay, wait, I was totally, totally with you until that. And then you say, okay, we believe the same thing, which is great. Again, it's like it brought it back around. Okay, we believe the same thing in the way, oh, you guys have always kind of believed the same thing, which is kind of nice. It's a nice idea. Like, I get it. But it just felt so heavy-handed and so strange coming out of his mouth out of nowhere.
Exactly.
Like, especially considering in the revival, he's strictly atheist again.
Exactly, like, which makes much more sense.
Right, which is just so strange to me. It was so weird at the time. It's kind of nice to get this off my chest, because every time I watch this, it kind of bothers me. Like, I just go, what was that scene about? Okay, I'm gonna ignore it, and I'm gonna watch them cuddle in bed, because I enjoy that.
Exactly. But I would just zone out when you say those lines, because everything up until then is like bang on, like just right in the heart of X-Files territory about never giving up about, yeah, the costs of following this quest. It's all perfect in terms of the finale. And then this little weird bit comes along, and I just kind of like tune out and admire like David Duchovny's lips while he's talking, because yes, he looks really good in that scene.
Oh,
and
yes,
I enjoy the music, which is lovely in that scene.
They both do.
It's like we talked about that as one of our very favorite pieces of music in the whole series.
Yeah.
And so I just tend to kind of like zone out and enjoy the beautiful way that it's shot and how beautiful the actors look and what a great job they're doing with whatever they've been given. And I just kind of like just ignore that, because other than that, I think it's a beautiful scene.
It's so nice to hear someone else agree with me on that, because I've always kind of felt like everyone's like, that last conversation was so great. And so, and it really was.
It was.
Except that part. Like, I wish there was somebody out there who could make me an edit that ends with, it ends with when she says, I think the last part that I was cool with when she says, if this is the truth that you've been looking for, what is left to believe in?
Exactly.
Cut it. Just have him go up, have the kissy face, and then have him hop in the bed and be like, maybe there's hope. Perfect. End scene.
Perfect.
Done.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Love it.
Everything else just felt so wedged in there.
It felt very wedged in and had nothing to do with the episode except for the idea of the dead speaking to us, which is fine. I don't have a problem with talking with the dead speaking to us. I think that's actually in character, I think, for Mulder just to say that, because because he talks about that a little bit, something along those lines in sort of Closure when he's talking about Samantha and Starlight and all that kind of stuff. The idea of the dead always being with us.
Right.
I can buy that from Mulder. Just don't start talking about a power that's greater than any alien force. Please, no, stop.
Yeah. Do you know what we're talking about? Okay. You know what's interesting? Because I think it was in Essence, right before this episode. No. That was a season before. Sorry. In season 8, I had a very similar thought, like when they're all in the room with Krycek and he's like explaining it to everybody. And then out of fucking nowhere, Mulder just goes, you mean that there's a God? Or like he says something like that, that there's a higher power. And I remember at that time thinking the same thing, thinking, what Mulder, what are you even talking about? Like, and again, why is it you saying this? And then we never come back to that, like, ever again. Like, it is bizarre. And I'm like, that you want to throw in these elements. Like, I get it that you want to throw it in. But it's just, again, it's just such a weird way to do it.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Why? I mean, like, for those lines in The Truth at the end, why couldn't they have given, if they had given that to Scully to say, then I would have been fine with it. But for some reason, they had to have Mulder saying it. It's almost like, aha, we have to prove that the atheist has come to believe.
Right.
And
I don't
like that.
Because, I mean, it seems so disingenuous, because he's always been a believer. So it's like, why is this suddenly the end all that, like, okay, now that you believe in God, you've now made the right decision. Like, it just feels very, this is like, we're getting real deep here, Jen. It just feels very, very like promoting some sort of like a religious agenda, which I have never seen the show do ever.
Yeah. And I think that, sort of reading what I have in recent years about that Chris Carter himself became increasingly religious throughout the course of the series,
right,
kind of sort of really hammers that home for me, that that's not an accident. And it's not me imagining that that's the message, that,
right,
that was really what Chris Carter believed at that point.
And
so,
I mean, it's his show. He could do what he wants to. It felt
we don't have
so,
to like it.
Yeah. It's just felt really weird and wedged
it
in
was
there.
Weird.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, if they had done something to set that up a little better in terms of Mulder's character arc, then I would have been okay with it.
Yeah.
But
I would have too.
You can't throw it in at the end.
I mean, I really would have too. Again, I'm like, I'm not a huge fan of the whole pushing of the religion, but like, at least if it had felt a little bit more organic, I wouldn't have been so jarred by it, you know?
Yep. Yep.
Anyway, let's move on to our next ending, which would be 6 years later, I Want to Believe.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, we can do a whole episode on I Want to Believe, because I love to Believe. I love everything about I Want to Believe, pretty much everything, almost everything. But I actually really do like this ending. I think it's very fitting. Like, the tone is very fitting to X-Files. Again, it's not, like we've talked about before, we do get a nice big sloppy kiss and we get a beautiful swelling love theme. And it's kind of an overtly romantic ending, which is great. Like, I just remember being in the theater going, oh my God, is this really happening? I can't even believe what I'm watching. Like, it was insane. But besides that, the theme of this movie and the idea of her not giving up hope and even not ending on that kiss, even ending on her in the hospital, not giving up on this patient, I thought was a really interesting choice. And I thought it was a really kind of beautiful choice. Like, I mean, and I like, I liked it. I liked it. What did you think of I Want to Believe?
I mean, that's a great ending. I love that last scene with Mulder and Scully. It feels, I was trying to understand, I was looking within myself today and trying to understand why I really like the ending of I Want to Believe better than the ending of Existence, because it ends on a kiss. They're both kind of happy endings, but for some reason I like I Want to Believe a lot better. And I think for me it's, I'm not sure, but all I can try to say is that it feels more earned in a way, that that movie is largely about their relationship. There's a lot about Mulder and Scully's relationship throughout I Want to Believe. And so this ending that they come to, this kind of like conclusion that they're going to keep going together, it feels right. It makes sense. I like it. They've got a beautiful conversation about, you know, getting away from the darkness. And, you know, as Mulder says, I'm not sure it works that way. I think maybe the darkness finds you and me. But then he says, but let it try. So let I love try. That dialogue. Yeah. It's because that's very X-Filesy. It's like, we're not going to probably get away from this darkness, but damn it, we are going to try.
Yeah.
And that's got that kind of like, it's a little hint of dark, but hopeful at the same time.
Which is perfect.
So I like that. Love that. Perfect. And I mean, that's an awesome kiss. That's like hot, hot, hot.
And in bright daylight.
And like the camera is like swirling around them so you can see every angle. And it's,
and David gives us some tongue. Thank you, David.
We get some tongue. Thank you. And the music is great, like you say. And like the setting is perfect because it's this very sort of snowy, wintry movie. But this final scene, the snow is melting. Yeah. Spring is coming. There's hope.
Yeah.
I love it. I love that ending.
I think it's beautiful.
It's great. I think I really get a strong feeling that this was the ending, that this was like, I feel like when Chris Carter did this, that he was kind of like, yep, this is it. This is, I'm throwing everything out the window. I'm just going to give the fans what they want for a change.
Right.
And I feel like that's what he did. And we could get that, like that scene with the rowboat after the credits, right?
Oh yeah. Which I loved. I mean, I think there's a lot of people out there that hated that.
No, I love it.
I fucking love it. Because you know what? If anyone deserves a vacation, it's these two.
Totally.
Let them have their vacation.
Absolutely. And it's like, and it feels like, and they like wave at like the camera. It just really feels like that's like a little love letter to the fans there. That whole ending feels like that to me. It's like, okay, like I've resisted long enough, fans. Here you go. You wanted Mulder and Scully happy together. Here you go. You can have it. Yeah. So I love it. I love everything about it. And yeah, I think you're right. The whole movie is great in terms of themes of hope and faith and all those kinds of things. It all works within the scope of the X-Files. So that's a great ending. I love it.
I completely agree with you. And it's funny, like I know a lot of people might look back now in retrospect and say that it's been tainted by what's to follow. And
nothing will taint it for me.
Well, I can see people's perspective on that, but at the same time, like if that were the ending and we weren't going to get any more, I could interpret that as, okay, this is us kind of making this, you know, vow to not give up, which is what that ending is about.
Absolutely.
And we know that, you know, as real life progresses and things happen, which is kind of what I like about what they did, things change, you know, that the promises that we make don't necessarily carry through. And that's real life. And that's what happened here. And I mean, I can still see, you can see the cracks in their relationship throughout this movie. They paint them, I think, very well and very realistically, which is, I think, what I liked about this. When I first saw this movie, I don't remember liking it as much as I do now. I mean, on multiple successive watches, every time I watch it, I pick up on something new. And I can see sort of the depth they're trying to get across, like all of these hidden layers of what's going on with these two, what's actually the issues that are happening. And they're all real and they're all totally believable. So, I mean, I can look at this as an ending and be like, okay, cool, they're going to be fine. But I can also look at it as an ending that be like, we still have some shit to do. Which is, I think, what is ultimately, hey, if this show progresses, which it did, this is probably the natural course of events, what would have happened.
It's not like the pure happy ending that season 8 was.
Right.
Where they're totally happy with their little baby. This is a little bit like there's a little bit of sort of rumbling darkness in the background here of like not everything is perfect.
But that's like that's right up your alley, because yeah,
like right up my alley.
8 is too happy. This is like we got the hope, we got the don't give up, the let it try. Yep. We're great, but there is that undertone of darkness that yep. will always be there, which I think is
right there.
It needs to be part of this show. It has to be, or it doesn't feel genuine. So yeah, I agree with you completely.
Yeah, that's right in the sweet spot for me, that one.
Let's move on to season 10. The revival,
yeah.
My Struggle 2, the shit show, the two end all shit shows.
Yeah, this might be the first, one of the first endings that we've come to. Maybe I want to believe a lot of our listeners probably did not necessarily see the endings live when they aired in season 7, 8, and 9.
Right.
But I think most or all of our listeners will have seen the ending of season 10.
Yeah.
And known as we did then that it had not been renewed and remember exactly how they felt, because it was just a couple years ago. So what did you make of it?
Oh, well, I've talked enough about this. I think people know exactly what I make of it. But I think, like, I have to say, though, I think in hindsight, I think for whatever reason, Carter lies all the time in interviews. We know this.
Yes.
I think he knew they were coming back.
He had to, right?
I think he did. And I think what he says in interviews is intentionally provocative. It's intentionally misleading. And I think it's intentionally, like, it's meant to, you know, to provoke, to make people mad. Like, and I feel like he said, like, yeah, every time I make an ending, I always think that, hey, this could be the ending. But I feel like I feel like he says that shit on purpose, Jen. Like, I feel like he knows how mad that makes people. Mm-hmm. The whole idea that, like, Jillian came back and everyone was kind of like, oh, well, I thought you said that you were done and then you came back, made me think that they had already sort of pre-discussed this. That, like, hey, okay, this is how we're going to end it, but Fox has said that this is going to probably get another season because they're expecting it to do really well or whatever, you know? So is everyone cool to come back? We're going to do a cool cliffhanger and hope for the best. You know what I mean? I don't know. Yeah. I don't think... I work in TV production. I don't know necessarily if that's the way this happened, but I have to believe that that's not how he would have ended it. Like,
yeah.
Believing that makes me think that, like, he's just straight up evil. Like, it really does.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, there are folks that believe that of Chris Carter. And if that was, in fact, the case in this season, then they would be right.
Yeah,
I
agree.
Just straight up evil.
I will agree with you. I will agree with all of them in this scenario because it
was... But in this scenario, absolutely. It's like, I kind of feel like at the time, I kind of felt like if it hadn't already been decided that it was coming back, that this is Chris Carter, like is it blackmail or like holding us hostage, something like that, where it's kind of like, you're not going to make me break the hearts of all these fans now, are
doesn't
you, Fox?
It feel
you
like
gotta
that?
Bring me back.
Doesn't it feel like that? Like, seriously, as I'm watching, I was rewatching it today, and I mean, like I said last time, because we talked about the music in our music episode and how great, and how, other than a lot of cringeworthy moments, even in those last 5 minutes that I don't even want to talk about, it's a really kind of cool looking scene. Like, everything looks cool.
It's a cool scene.
It's a nice scene. It's really exciting. Like, all this shit is happening all, like, that you kind of always wanted to see happen on this show. Like you want to see these sort of end of world scenarios playing out.
And we even big though, scale.
Right. And I mean, they found a clever way to do that without actually ending the world. You know what I mean? So I have to kind of give them credit for that. Like, we got to see that on our TV screen, which was really kind of cool. And like I said, like, if I had known this was just going to be a cliffhanger and it was the season finale and there was going to be more, I probably would have really liked it. You know, I probably would have been like, oh, that was bitching. You know what I mean? Like, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
But I was just left with my jaw on the floor because I was just like, what? Like, ugh. And I had I really had no hope, too, that it was coming back. I don't remember why I was so determined to believe that it was not coming back. I think I wanted a reason to justify my anger because it was intense. But like, I was so convinced that they weren't coming back. That's what made me mad. And like I said, if I had known, then this would have been a really cool cliffhanger. Cool cliffhanger, terrible series finale.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that, I think when I watched it, I was not as angry as you were, although I'm not sure how many people were, but I wasn't even particularly angry about it for some reason, because I think that I could not possibly believe that it would end like that. I thought, well, okay, this has got to mean that it's coming back. There's no possible way it's ending like this. I mean, we're talking about it on our episode tonight because, you know, it is technically could have been an ending. But when I think about it, it's like, there's no way. Like, I can't even talk about that as a potential ending because it's just, it's preposterous to even talk about it in that context.
The way that you say that, that's how I felt about season seven.
Like, yeah, okay, fair enough.
You know, so it's like, I could look at season seven and be like, well, this is preposterous. He's abducted and she's pregnant. We're going to end it that way. But like you said, that was a completely different time frame. This is now when I think the odds of, I mean, shows get canceled left and right. Like, when they were filming this, they would have had no clue what the ratings were going to be. If they would get picked up. Hell, you don't even know if they're going to get all of your episodes aired nowadays.
That's how fickle the
networks are. Yep. So, in terms of the stakes and me knowing kind of how that works and how iffy that possibility was and should have been for Chris Carter when he wrote this fucking episode.
Yes.
That is, I think, where the source of my anger came from. Because I was just like, unless he's guaranteed more episodes, he should have fucking known better. Like,
you don't take that chance, dude.
Right.
Like, that is too big a chance to be taking with the hearts of the fans.
But
that is like, not only is that a cliffhanger, and you know, we've had many a cliffhanger on the X-Files over the years, but I can't think off the top of my head of too many season finales that didn't just end on a typical sort of like, ooh, what's going to happen next cliffhanger, but actually ended in the middle of a scene kind of cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
we didn't even finish that scene.
It's mid scene, and
we ended it.
It's not even like we don't know what anything. Like, I don't know is that a real spaceship? What's it gonna do to Scully?
We have no idea what's happening.
Yeah, is it gonna suck her up? Is someone gonna come down? Is she even seeing it? Like, there were so many things that I was just like, what is even happening? And all of that imagery was so cool. So
it was really cool, actually. I mean, like that scene on the bridge is actually a very cool scene.
Very cool.
If I just think of it now as like, okay, this was the cliffhanger leading up to season 11. I think it has that big scope. That's what I want to see for when the X-File ends. I want to see a big scope and it had that. But it just like, the hell was that ending?
Is that arguably, maybe not so arguably, like the other than Fight the Future, probably the greatest scope we've seen, at least on our small screen.
I would tend to agree. I think that the stakes are high in episodes like Requiem, but we certainly don't see it the way we do in My Struggle 2. And I mean, it's really well done in that sense. It's like that last few minutes is actually quite exciting to watch.
Yeah.
And I quite like it, and then you also add in, like, you know, first there's like this, you know, what the fuck, like right in the middle of a scene, what are you doing right now? But then we add in the layer that all along, and it took me a long time before I believed this, but I really do believe it and accept it now, that that episode was always intended to be Scully's vision.
Yeah.
And the idea that Chris Carter had gone to the trouble of, you know, he's got that close up on Scully's eye. I believe that this was his intention.
Yeah.
The fact that he went to this length and this was his vision. No pun intended, that this is how it was going to play out. And the idea that we would never find out that that's what that episode really was, that, oh, you know, it was just a vision all along. The idea that it would have ended without ever getting that payoff of, it was Scully's vision. That's just crazy.
Yeah.
That's insane to me that he had that idea and there was a chance it would never even get to follow through to completion.
It would never come to light. Yeah. You know, what's interesting is I think, and I don't go back and listen to that episode of our podcast because I was so angry that I don't like to relive that. But from what I recall, because this was back when I did the podcast with Nick and Charlie called that. Like, he said, I think it's all a vision. Yeah. He said, you remember there was a shot where it went into her eye. And I remember that, I don't remember how Nick felt, because I think maybe that first episode was just me and Charlie. But I remember thinking like, was that? No way. Like, I remember thinking, there's no way he would have done that. That's messed up. Like, a dream, like, come on, you know? And I remember being very skeptical about it, but I mean, props to Charlie, because he called it right off the bat. And like,
Totally. Everyone,
like literally, I hear people now calling it a retcon, and I'm like, that was not a retcon. Like,
it wasn't.
Within the same episode he had planned. Yeah. And you know what's funny? When I think about it, I'm going to go a little deep here, Jen. When you think about it, like you said, if that was the series finale, And we somehow watched it again and again and again and figured out that starting at the very beginning, that was all a vision. You could easily call the ending of Babylon kind of, hey, That's where we're ending. Kind of happy walking through the house and holding hands and everything's fine. And then, you know, Scully essentially just goes into work and has a bad dream.
Yeah, I like that idea a lot.
And then wakes up next to Mulder, who then is in bed with her and everything's great. Okay.
Yeah.
So if you
look
at it,
absolutely true.
If you look at it that way, then sure. But, you know, you have to do a lot of mental gymnastics to get there.
You do. But I think I totally agree. It's not a retcon. And you know how I feel about retcons. I don't care for them. But in this case, it's like, nope, I get it. There is that shot of Scully's eye. And the fact that Charlie called it shows that, yes, the clues were there to be seen.
Yeah.
So, you know, I give full credit to Chris Carter on that. That's not something that he made up after the fact and tried to squeeze back in again.
Right. Agreed.
Like a certain brain disease I could mention. This is a retcon that I can live with because it's not really a retcon. It's just kind of like a long game, like a 2-year concept that may not have ever actually played out.
Well, and I think what's so interesting about how he plays this show a lot of the time, and this is where I have to give him the most credit. I don't think he cares. Like, I really think that he puts these things in and they're there. Like Scully says in the pilot, the answers are there if you just know how to look, if you know where to look. They're there. It's just a matter of how hard we want to look for them. And so it's kind of like, hey, if you're not going to bother to figure it out, then you're not going to figure it out. I feel like that's kind of his attitude. And I feel like, hey, he expects a lot from his audience, as he should, because the X-Files audience is a generally smart audience.
We're the best.
Yeah. So I think, you know, when I see things like that, that you have to kind of work for, I kind of appreciate that as a viewer. So, I mean, I can give him props for that. And I think he does that quite frequently. And every time I do a rewatch of the show, I find something else that I'm like, well, holy shit, he put that in season 2. It's there. It's there for me to see. And it hooks up with this random other piece of mythology that we talk about in season 5, you know, and it's there. And I think a lot of people aren't really aware of those things because they're so subtle, just like the eye thing. Like, it's so subtle. Like, if you blink, you're going to miss it.
Totally. And not only are they subtle, Chris Carter he doesn't seem to be too concerned about like ramming it down our throat after the fact in terms of, you know, the PR he does. He's way too busy messing with our minds. He doesn't really seem to be, he doesn't pat himself on the back very much and say, remember that shot with Scully's eye? Wasn't that awesome the way I had this all planned? If he gave himself more credit and said, if you go back, excuse me, and check these different clues, you'll see it. He doesn't tend to connect the dots for us very much. It's like, if you guys get it, great. If you don't, I'm okay with that too.
Right.
He doesn't really make a big point about showing the sort of path that he laid for us.
To be fair, I do think he actually like literally said that about the eye thing.
I think he had to
when they brought back. Because I think people were like so confused and upset that he had to be like, well, guys, you know, just so you know, there's clues in the episode. You got to go back and watch, because I mean, to his credit, I don't think he wanted to be accused of retconning when it was his intent the entire time. So,
I mean,
So, I mean, in that case, it's okay for him to be like, you know, hey, maybe you got to go back and watch it again.
But, yes. I mean, fair enough, because I mean, like that was well done. I took me a long time to really believe it. I'm like, no, he's totally making that shit up. But then, when I went back and watched the bit with the eye, it's like, well, you got me. That is not an accidental shot. It is clearly there for a purpose, and now I get the purpose. So in retrospect, it's not a terrible ending, but as a series ending, it's ridiculous.
Well, you're right. And I think in a way, it's almost like this is probably the least likely to be on our list for that reason.
Yeah.
Because like we said, I mean, I'm pretty sure he knew that it was coming back. So, I mean,
let's just hope he did.
Yeah. I mean, let's consider it in our list in terms of a series finale, because I got to tell you, like, that's certainly what I felt at the time. So,
well,
it
exactly.
Counts,
I mean, whatever but, Chris Carter knew, certainly from the point of view of the fans, it was potentially a series ending for sure.
Right. Well, that's a good segue into season 11, which thank God for season 11.
Yeah.
And today, it's funny, I just mentioned that today is the actual anniversary of My Struggle For, which is
happy birthday My Struggle For.
Yeah, happy birthday. A lot of mixed opinions, a lot of interesting feedback, and I mean, I'm still kind of where I was a year ago with the season, I should say series finale, because I mean, I don't think we've ever been more certain that it's over. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think this was the episode that we I think that up until now, every time The X-Files has allegedly ended, we always felt like either there might be another season or there might be a movie. This time, I'm pretty confident that we're not going to see it again in the form that it's in now, at least with Mulder and Scully. So yeah. I think that we all went into this finale thinking this is really it. And I think that we were all quite terrified for that reason, because we knew that a lot was riding on this finale, because this was all we were going to get probably.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think maybe, and I don't even want to say that like maybe people's expectations were too high, because I have a feeling that most 25 years in, I feel like most files have positioned their expectations adequately or inappropriately, yeah. I should say, at an appropriate level. But like, I went into this kind of thinking, look, I mean, we got that great Nothing Lasts Forever scene. I was fully convinced that he was going to walk back the smoking man thing, and instead he decided to like double down on it.
Yeah.
That being said, I still think that he left, I mean, we've talked about this, I still think that he left all of the paternity stuff vague enough to the point where, as far as I'm concerned, the jury's still out on that. I didn't see a fucking DNA test, so
damn right.
I you know, as icky as the whole idea of it is, you know, I can walk away from that show, that episode, not feeling like that was actually Smoking Man's kid. And I think, to be fair, to Carter's credit, I mean, I know a lot of people watch the commentary. I refuse to watch the commentary because of some of the things that I hear he says. I don't like behind the scenes stuff. I've said that before, but he did make a point to say something to the effect of not the biological, but the figurative father, which is kind of what we all landed on. Like, hey, it's just, and again, I don't want to get into all of that again, but it's like, regardless of that, I don't think the intent of the episode changes, and kind of the intent of where they're left. They neither of them are killed off. They're alive. They have this sort of new beginning that they now get to have together. And it, you know, they're in their 50s, but it's a fucking fictional television show, so I'm just gonna be like, whatever, they're fake TV characters. I can live with that. Like, I seriously, that is like the least thing that I'm upset about. You know what I mean? So yeah. I don't know. I don't understand that at all. People upset about that. But, you know, everybody's got their own opinion. I get it.
They do.
But yeah, I actually overall really like this as a finale. I'm fine with it. Considering all the possible alternatives that we could have gotten, I'm okay with this. I'm content.
All right. Content is not bad. I mean, going into this, content is pretty much exactly what I would have hoped for. And that's pretty much kind of where I landed. I was very worried about what we would get in My Struggle 4, based largely on what had happened in the other My Struggles, which I had not enjoyed. And I had all kinds of worst case scenarios in my head for how this was going to go. I felt really good coming out of Nothing Lasts Forever. As you mentioned, that had a very strong ending. And in my mind, that kind of, that did such a beautiful job of wrapping up Mulder and Scully's relationship, and really hits on a lot of the themes that had been hit on in other series finales, in terms of, you know, the personal costs for Mulder's quest and things like that in that final conversation that Mulder and Scully have and Nothing Lasts Forever. Beautifully written once again, shout out Karen Nielsen, I love you. And that to me has a real nice vibe of a series finale, that conversation. So if I could have taken like that conversation and stuck it into My Struggle 4, I would have liked My Struggle 4 a lot better.
Yeah.
My Struggle 4, it could have been a lot worse. I don't like it particularly because it's not about the things that The X-Files is about for me, which is about Mulder's quest, about, you know, the UFOs, about the conspiracies, that sort of thing. It's about the things that The X-Files became about in its later years, which is fair enough. It's more about Mulder and Scully as parents. The main point of that episode is mostly about fathers and sons, because we have Mulder and William. We have, and they are father and son as far as I'm concerned, and we have CSM and Mulder, and there is a lot about and fathers and sons is a theme throughout The X-Files too, so it's certainly not non-X-Filey to make that the point of that episode. It's just not my favorite aspect of The X-Files.
Right.
And so it's not an ending I love. Obviously, they could have messed it up a lot more. I'm happy that at least Mulder and Scully are together at the end. The way that that final scene is shot is so gorgeous and makes up for a lot, in my opinion. The way it's shot, the music, the acting is all so great. And it does have the right tone, you know, that whole sort of maybe there's hope kind of vibe that, you know, it's sad, but it's a little bit happy. So I do like that. So, it's not bad. I agree with you. I don't love it, but I am content. I'm content with it. It's a decent ending is what I wrote down. So could have been a lot worse. But if I could just slot in Nothing Lasts Forever as the ending instead of My Struggle For, I'd be much happier with that. But I realized that I don't get to decide these things. So it's fine. Shoulder shrug. It's fine.
That is an important realization, Jen. We're not in charge. I think a lot of people forget that.
It's hard to remember that sometimes, but I have to remind myself occasionally. So, you know, shoulder shrug, it's fine. I think that I was genuinely afraid that Scully was going to get killed off or something like that. Although at one point, I mean, you know, I love the angst and I don't know. I remember many years ago, this was back in the days of alt.tv.xfiles on Usenet. So this would have been back in the 90s.
Oh, wow.
I wish I could give credit to the person who wrote it because I've remembered it for all these years. But it was something like every story can either have a sad ending or a happy ending depending on where you stop it. And that the X-Files, to that person, and I kind of could see it at the time, they felt like the X-Files should end on this big heroic note where Mulder and Scully give their lives saving the world. And I remember reading that and thinking, I really like that idea. And I've never quite let it go ever since. And a friend of mine asked me while season 11 was airing, and she knew I was a fan, she said, how do you think it should end? And I remember before, I may have told the story before on the podcast, that before I even knew what was coming out of my mouth, I said, everyone should die. And I don't know why I feel that way, other than the fact that I love the angst. But I feel like if Mulder and Scully had died saving the world somehow or saving William, I would have been okay with that as long as both of them had died. I just would have been really sad if it had just been Scully or Mulder and the other one had been left behind. But
yeah, I want completely 100% disagree with that, as we've established before. I do not want them dead. But you're right. I think both of them dead would have been preferable to one or the other, which for a brief moment, like, we're all supposed to, and what I kind of preferred about this ending to, say, like the ending of season 10 or even the ending to season 7, I like the kind of idea that you get these kind of cool, like, fake outs, and I think this was a really cool fake out. Like, it fooled me. Like, I was just like, what, like, this entire time I've been thinking they're gonna kill Scully off. And they totally, like, pull the rug out from under me and kill Mulder. And I was like, I was really worried for a minute. I was just like, wait, because I didn't see it coming. I think other people I talked to were like, oh, I got it. Like, I saw it coming before it happened. But, like, I think I was just so caught up in, like, the emotion of, like, watching the clock. Because that's what I did. That's what I did the previous season. I kept watching the clock going, oh, my God, there's 6 minutes left. There's only 5 minutes left. What the fuck is going to happen? And I was so stressed out that I think that I wasn't really picking up on, like, the subtle cues that he wasn't really quite behaving like himself, which I can now appreciate. But, like, I was like, holy shit, he got killed. That's not how they're going to end this. I'm so upset. And like you said, if they had just ended the show right there, that would have been pretty terrible. But I like the cool fake out. Like, I kind of like, we got some nice character moments there at the end. I wish there had been more. Like I said a million times, I wish they'd given them one more minute to talk and process everything. I still am fine. I can make my peace with what Scully said, because I do think that Scully would deal with a tragedy that way. I think that's how she deals with tragedy. I think she tries to rationalize it. So it's like everyone that gets so upset about what she said, I'm like, look, that's Scully. Like, that's how she reacts. She needs to compartmentalize. She needs to be like, this is this horrible thing that's happened. I need to make sense of it. And I mean that, I think that's how she deals with her grief. And I like, even now, and I'm sure when all the dust settled, and even if they found out he was alive, which in my mind they do eventually, maybe she would have been like, hey, you know, I might not have reacted that way if I wasn't under such intense stress. Like, and again, this is kind of bringing in the sort of real life reaction to it, which I know people don't want to see when they're watching a television show.
Yeah.
So I get that.
One thing I really liked about that is I really liked the fact that, and I just kind of realized that this week, that the way My Struggle 4 ends with Scully really having to be the one to kind of pull Mulder back from the brink of his kind of like despair. You know, that's the role she puts herself in at that moment and feels like she has to play. And that makes total sense. I agree with you. Mm-hmm. And it's because she does the same thing I noticed in The Truth at the end of season 9. It's Mulder who's saying that I think I have failed in that final conversation. But it's Scully who says, I don't believe that. I don't believe you believe that. You can't give up. She brings him back again from that place of despair. Yeah. So I like that kind of like sort of bookend where it's Scully that does that for Mulder, that when he gets sort of overwhelmed by his quest or whatever the circumstances are, when he is defeated, it's Scully who picks him up and keeps going. She's the one who has the faith in him,
right,
and in them together to be able to keep going and to have that ability to bring him back, and that she can do that, and she does do that,
and so
I do like that.
I can still kind of watch that and think, hey, maybe I would have written that dialogue a little bit better, a little bit differently, like I feel like I would have, but at the same time, like, I can watch it and I don't necessarily feel like it's as bad as maybe a lot of people think, for that reason, because I constantly think of, like, you're in this place of grief, you're in this place of despair, like, he's dead, he's not coming back, as far as they're concerned, he just got killed, he's dead. Mm-hmm. We know he isn't, because we see at the end that he's not, but, like, at that moment, it's like, you're doing what you can to sort of, I mean, denial, what is that, the first stage of anger? You're doing what you can to rationalize it, grief, sorry.
Yeah.
To rationalize what has happened. And I mean, you got to look at it, there's too many things going on. I mean, she's got this secret she has to tell Mulder, probably not the best time, but at the same time, it's the perfect time to tell him that. So it's like, you have this terrible news, and then on the heels of that comes this wonderful news. And it's like, it's again with the theme of hope. It's again with the sort of bittersweet tone that we come to expect from this show. So again, I mean, I just can't be mad at it like so many people are. Like, I just can't.
I'm not particularly mad at it.
Yeah.
I was like you, watching the clock the whole time I was watching it, and I was just nervous the whole time about what was going to happen. And to have it end the way it did, it was like, phew, I was relieved more than anything else. Because, like, well, that could have been a lot worse.
I agree with that completely. And so, I love end too. The quote at the end is when she says, "More than impossible." It's more than impossible, which I think was a really cool. Another really cool quote to end. I mean, I still don't think it's as good as maybe there's hope, but it is. It's along the same lines.
Yeah.
And Scully gets to say it, which is really cool. I mean, she gets the last line of the show. I mean, as much shit as we can give Chris Carter for kind of, you know, putting her on the sidelines this episode, which I think he did. She does kind of have the upper hand in this final scene.
Yes.
Like you were just talking about, and she gets to say this final line. It's more than impossible. They are acknowledging the fact that this is crazy, like that this is something that is not just, hey, by the way, this thing happened, this is a strange occurrence, this is an X-File, you know. Not in the negative
and,
way.
And more than impossible is a very X-Filesy thing to say. So I love that. That line.
I don't hate it.
I don't love it, but I don't hate it.
Yeah.
And so, but I think if we were like to grade on the bell curve in terms of how the majority of fans, I think, feel about My Struggle For, I think you and I, in comparison, probably love it compared to most people.
I would agree with that.
Don't hate it puts us in the love category.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, again, like look what we have to work with. I mean, like we don't have any super great ones. Yeah. I mean, we have very few perfect ones. Even great ones. So I would.
We take what we can get. It's always the way on the X-Files. We take what we can get. You know, not every episode is great. Not seasons don't tend to end on the best note for me. The season finales tend not to be my favorite episodes. A lot of the times, the second last episode of the season tends to be much stronger than the last one, I find. So, you know, you just kind of adjust your expectations accordingly, and we love the episodes we love and we ignore the ones that we don't.
Right. And I mean, in this case, it's like, I legitimately don't feel like I even have to ignore it. I think parts of it were very beautiful. So I don't hate it. But anyway, let's like to wrap up this episode. Why don't we quickly, I mean, we'll see if anything changed. Quickly rank your finales here. How would you rank?
Okay.
How you go first.
All right. I'm going to say probably 5 out of 6 right from the get-go, I'm going to say I actually like. So even though they're ranked 1 to 5, I actually like them all.
You my like, wait, you like or you like as a finale?
As a finale.
Okay, okay.
So my favorite would be I Want to Believe, because it's just, like I say, that sweet spot, happy, but not too happy. My second favorite, season 7, Requiem. It's weird, it's out there, but it's X-Filesy and it's angsty, and I love it. My third favorite, I think, is The Truth. If I just ignore that weird part of the conversation from Mulder about religion, I still think that's a beautiful scene. Number 4, I would put in, I mean, I got to put season 8 somewhere. So Existence, Happy Family, okay. And the 5th I would put is My Struggle 4, but that doesn't mean that I hate it. It's just the other ones are better. And the only one that I don't like is season 10, My Struggle 2. That's just ridiculous. So that's where I would rank them. What about you?
Well, ours are really different. It's kind of funny.
Okay.
Well, my number 1 is season 8 because I, as much as I love angst, I still feel like season 8 hit a really nice tone. And I love these characters so much that I would give them a pass and allow them to give us that wonderful little happy family tableau and just pull out and be done with them. So that will always be my favorite finale. My number 2, believe it or not, is My Struggle 4.
Wow.
I actually have come to appreciate it a lot more, and it feels just very mature to me. I don't know. It feels like a nice, mature ending for the two of them, and they're in such a different place, too, in their relationship, that I appreciate that, and I feel like that plays a role. My number 3 is I Want to Believe. I agree with you completely. I think it's a great tone, and I just love I love that ending. My number 4 would be The Truth. Again, I think that would probably be up higher if it weren't for that weird exchange that they have. I don't know. It really brings the whole scene down for me. Like, I love it, but I wish it wasn't there. And then I actually just switched my last 2 because I had season 7 Woo-hoo! At the bottom, but I'm going to put season 7 at number 5 for the reasons we stated. Nice. And nice. But I do think season 10 is my last, but I do think that they are both ridiculous.
That's fair. That's totally fair. I think that you'll have a lot of people agreeing with you.
But Requiem was such a superior episode that I have to put it above it.
Yeah, it's just as a whole episode in terms of what you would do to wrap up the X-Files. The whole thing is brilliantly done, in my opinion.
Yeah.
If we could somehow get Nothing Lasts Forever onto the list, it would be up quite high with me. As a series finale. It's not what it was. It's not what it's intended to be. So we can't put it on the list. But if we could, it would be up really high for me. So I'm going to give some kind of a weird honorable mention to Nothing Lasts Forever.
If you get that for an honorable mention, I'm going to I'm going to do Lost Art of Forehead Sweat's ending as an honorable mention, because if they had ended it like that, I would have been thrilled. So
I totally agree. That's a brilliant ending.
Yeah. So anyway, we got
love
a little
that. Love that.
So before we end, though, I have a little question.
All right.
Hot take for Jen.
Hot take.
Given everything that we have been given,
How
would you have ended the show?
Oh, bloody hell. I think, like I said, everyone would have died. I think if I had my way, Mulder and Scully would have been a huge scale, like the kind of scale that we saw at the end of My Struggle 2. Or Fight the Future, that kind of scale, aliens invading, but somehow they save the world and die doing it, but they know that's what they're doing and they are okay with it because they're together, and it somehow is like the end of their quest, and it's a proper ending to their quest, and it's like sad, but like this is what they were meant for. This was their fate all along, and that's how I would end it.
That's interesting, because God, I know, we already said this, but I just feel like they deserve a break. Like, I really do.
Yeah, fair enough.
Like, I feel like they've done their due diligence for the world.
Yeah.
And they should take some time off. So, I mean, in a weird way, take out all the weird, like, rapey, smoking man crap, and just have dealt with the Williams storyline the way they should have dealt with it, which is from the adoption angle. I would have ended it exactly the way they ended it. I really would have. I really would have. I think them having to let Jackson go and having this new baby, I think is appropriate, because again, like I always say, and I get hate mail, or I might get hate mail, I think they let him go 17 years ago. I don't think he's their child anymore. So I don't, I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, expecting them to be like a happy family with him. Like, I don't see that as a reality. So I wouldn't have ended that way. I would never have expected the show to end that way. So maybe that's also why I was just far less disappointed. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. No, I think the happy ending with the family, that ship sailed at the end of season 8.
We
had that chance in season 8. And after that, nope, not going to happen.
Yes, I agree. Well, this was a lot of fun, and and I think it's actually very appropriate that we recorded this on the 1 year anniversary of the actual end of the series. Please, dear God.
Yes. Because almost every other time the X-Files has ended, I've certainly have wanted more. Even if it's just another movie, it's like, you know, I just always want more X-Files, but not now. This time it's like, yep. I'm full. I've had enough. And thank you very much.
We should end it with your favorite quote. There's a time for an end. What is it?
It has to end sometime. That time is now.
Okay, that works.
Yeah, and that's exactly where we're at right now. Yeah. That time is now. And it does have to end. I mean, we had 25 years of the X-Files. We had way more than I ever thought. I mean, I was back there in season 1 just hoping we were going to get season 2.
Yeah.
And the fact that we got to season 11 25 years later is that's the miracle for me. That, you know, miracle babies aside, the miracle for me is that we got the X-Files for as long as we did. And every ending we got for me, you know, even though, you know, I've lambasted a couple of them tonight, they were all great in their own way, because it just meant I got to watch another year of The X-Files. And every year I got to watch The X-Files is a bonus for me. And so I was always happy watching The X-Files.
I agree completely. Well, thanks you guys for listening. And follow us over on Twitter at XFD Podcast. We're always having fun conversations over there. And we will see you guys next time for another episode of X-Files Diaries.
Bye.